Good morning, everyone, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to BB Seguridade's second quarter 2015 earnings conference call. This event is being recorded, and all participants may be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After this, there will be a question and answer session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star or two to reach the operator. This event is also being broadcasted live via webcast and through BB Seguridade's website at www.bancodobrasilseguridade.com.br. The presentation is also available on the financial information section. Participants may view the slides in any order they wish. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements that may be made during this conference call regarding expectations, growth estimates, projections, and future strategies of BB Seguridade are based on the management's current expectations and projections of future events and financial trends that may affect the business of the group and do not guarantee future performance, since these projections involve risks and uncertainties that could extrapolate the control of management. The information presented follows the consolidated and combined financial statements in accordance with the IFRS principles, except when an otherwise indicated source. For more information on the statements of the company, please check the MD&A. With us today are Mr. Marcelo Lobuto, BB Seguridade CEO, Mr. Werner Sappert, CFO, and Mr. Rafael Sperendio, Head of Investor Relations. Please, Mr. Sperendio, you may now begin.
Good morning, all, and thank you for joining our conference call. Starting here on page three with some highlights of the second quarter. The first one is our adjusted net income that reached 995 million reais, equivalent to a growth of nearly 18% year-over-year, almost equally distributed between the non-interest operating results and the financial results. Total revenues from our underwriting and accumulation businesses, including premiums written, payment plans contributions, and also premium bonds collections, grew by 8% year-over-year, driven primarily by payment plans with an increase of 15% over the second quarter of 2014. In the insurance segment, we had a strong operating performance in both stage 1 and stage 2, which improved their combined ratio by 1.2 percentage points and 3.8 percentage points respectively. On pension plans, we reached 131 billion in AUM, a growth of 35% over the last 12 months, maintaining Brazil Prev in the top of the ranking in P and BGBL reserves. In terms of net inflow, the company keeps showing a good performance with 52.3% out of the total market net inflows. On premium bonds, Brazil Cap, the net income grew by 15%, driven mainly by the increase in the average volume of financial assets. And brokerage revenues, which amounted to 673 million reais, grew by 10% year-over-year, driven mostly by the brokerage revenues from stage 1 and Brazil Prev. And finally, the last point that I would like to highlight is the distribution of 1.7 billion reais as dividends, equivalent to an 80% payout on the account in net income of roughly 2.2 billion reais as of the first half of 2015. On page 4, we have the one-off items that affected our earnings. So in the second quarter, we had a reversal of the supplementary coverage provision in Brazil Press, which impacted positively our results in 221 million reais. We consider it as one-off item that occurred in this quarter, mostly due to the adapting process of our balance sheet in Brazil prior to the new requirements for capital market risk. So Brazil Prime decided to go back to the procedure adopted until June 2014 that employs the usage of unrealized gains to offset any possible deficiency identified in the liability and equity test. So as a result of this change in the procedure, we had a reversal of the supplementary coverage provision that we built in December 2014, which led to a positive impact of 221 million in the net income of Credit Seguridade. On page 5, we have a brief overview of our performance both in the quarter and in the semester. So revenues, leave, premiums written, contributions and collections amounted to 17 billion reais in the quarter, 8% higher year over year. Year to date, these revenues reached 30.4 billion reais, an increase of 18% year over year. In both comparisons, these growth was mostly driven by the performance seen in Brazil Press. As you can see on the right-hand side, the patient plans business segment increased its share in total revenues by 7.1 percentage points in the semester compared to the same period last year. Our adjusted net income reached 995 million reais in the quarter, 18% of year-over-year. And year-to-date, the adjusted net income amounted to 1.9 billion reais, a growth of 30%, equivalent to an annualized return on average equity of nearly 63%. Well, the earnings breakdown, as we can see on the bottom right-hand side, we can see that differently from the income breakdown, SH1 and SH2 increased their share in the net income, mostly driven by strong set of operating results and also improved net investment income, while the Corretora lost a bit of share, mostly due to less strong financial results as compared to the other companies. This is the main driver of this change in the earnings breakdown. On page 6, we have the contribution of the net investment income to our adjusted net income. So the combined financial results of our affiliates in the quarter, net of taxes, was 36% higher year-over-year. On a year-to-date basis, net investment income grew by 51%. And the better performance of all affiliates was mostly due to higher yields on investments and also higher volumes of interest earning assets. I mean, in terms of yields on investments, it's worth noting that a higher average Selic rate as well as a strong performance that means the inflation protected securities were the most important drivers for this growth. It's always important to emphasize that we do not seek an active management of our investment portfolio. So the idea here is always to focus on the assets and liabilities management that having each of our affiliate companies. Moving to page 7, from now on we are going to cover the performance of each company in a deeper detail. So in page 7 we start with life, mortgage life and rural business segments. Considering the premiums written, net of premiums ceded to reinsurance, we had a retraction of 3% year over year. And year to date, retained premiums remained almost flat as compared to the same period last year. In second quarter, 15 premiums written dropped by 13% year over year. And also year to date, the volumes was, premiums written was nearly 8% lower. So the main reason is that in 2015, differently from what happened last year, Banco do Brasil decided not to anticipate the working capital lines for farmers. So it affected our performance in crop insurance. And besides this effect, we had also a weaker performance in the life insurance sold in independent broker channels. However, it's worth mentioning that the good performance we had in life insurance sold in the bank insurance channel and the good sales performance that we had in credit life for farmers offset partially this weaker performance in the rural and life insurance in the independent broker channel. By the way, besides we had this retraction in premiums written, minus 8% year to date, retained premiums, as I mentioned previously, remained quite stable. But means that the variable that really built up the company revenue stream remained flat. So with even a better quality in terms of mix, an increased share of life-related products such as credit life, the traditional life, the term life insurance, and also more age life, these products, they have lower claims and they provide better margins. That's why we can see even with a drop in terms of premiums written, as compared to the last year, we were able to perform much better results in terms of the underwriting side. And when we look in terms of net income growth, in the first half of 2015, our net income grew by 37%, mostly helped by such good performance in the underwriting results, as well as the strong performance in the net investment income, which grew 53% over the same period last year. On page 8, we can see the outcome of the dynamics that I just mentioned in terms of improving underwriting results. When we look to the year-over-year comparative, we can see an improvement in the performance ratio that reflected in the combined ratio itself, which achieved 69.8% in the quarter, with an improvement of 1.2 percentage points. Year-to-date, the combined ratio reached 69.7%, 5.1 percentage points better year over year, mainly explained by the use of lower claims in life and credit life segments, as well as the improvement in the G&A ratio, mostly due to lower contributions for the fund for the stability of the rural insurance here in Brazil. Moving to our P&C business unit on page 9, retained net premiums grew by 7% year-over-year and 5% year-to-date, driven mostly by auto and casualties in general, which increased their shares in the mix of premiums. In the quarter here, the net income grew by 116% year-over-year, and on a year-to-date basis, the growth was 50%, boosted mainly by the growth in net investment income, which improved 51% year-to-date, and also by the strong set of underwriting results, which grew by 27% year-to-date, driven by the increase. This increase was mostly driven by the improvement in the combined ratio, as we want to see on page number 10 here. This quarter, we saw such a good improvement in claims in all segments as compared to the second quarter last year, was led to an improvement of nearly 3.8 percentage points in the combined ratio year over year. Looking on a year-to-date basis, combined ratio improved by 0.2 percentage points. And when we listen to the commission and G&A ratios, we had some issues in the first half of 2015 that affected the comparison basis. So we detailed these events in our G&A, but only for for comparative purposes and comparative performance over the last year. We set apart these effects of these new accounting entries, the reclassification that we had last year, so the commission ratio would have improved by nearly 30 bps in the first half, and the G&A ratio would have declined by 7 bps as compared to the first half 2014. In the pension plans, on the next slide, we can see that in the quarter, contributions increased by 15% year over year, and the redemption ratio remained at a single digit level. When we look at the year-to-date figures, total contributions grew by 33% with a 50 bps lower redemption ratio. And on the upper right-hand side, total AUM reached 131 billion reais with a growth of 35% over the last 12 months. And the management fee grew by 29% in the semester, a little bit below the pace of growth of assets under management, mostly due to the drop of 6 bps in the average management fee charges as a result of the higher concentration in the BDBL plans and the focus that we have been implementing in high net worth clients. Our net income grew by 26% in the first half of 2015, boosted mainly by the growth in revenues with management fees and also by the higher spread between the company's assets and liabilities. On a year-to-date basis, return on average equity was 8.7 percentage points lower year-over-year, mostly due to the increase in retained earnings after the reversal of the supplementary coverage provision in the second quarter. So if we were to adjust the shareholders' equity considering the distribution of dividends, the adjusted ROE would be 48%, 3.1 percentage points lower than in the first half of 2014, and mostly explained by increased earnings retention in December last year to face new rules regarding the capital requirements related to the market risk that was going to be implemented by 2016 and 2017. On page 12, we have a comparison between the performance of BrasilPrev and the industry's performance. So as you can see, BrasilPrev keeps doing very well in net inflows, with a growth of 34% year-to-date, and accounting for nearly 57% of the industry's total net inflows. Looking at fee and VGBL reserves, we kept the leadership and ended June with 28% market share in AUM in these segments. On next page, we have our performance in premium bonds. So collections achieved roughly 2 billion in the quarter, remaining flat as compared to the second quarter 2014. Year-to-date, collections grew by 1%, higher concentration in monthly payment funds, which accounted for nearly 44% of total collections, while in the first half of 2014, this share was of nearly 37%. The net income grew by 8% year-over-year and 32% year-to-date, mainly driven by the growth in the net investment income as a result of the higher average balance of interest earning assets and also higher average yields on investments. Moving to the BCorretora on next page, brokerage revenues grew by 10% year-over-year and 17% year-to-date. And then in both cases, Tijuana and BrasilPrev, they were the main drivers. The net investment income achieved 389 million in the quarter, 14% up year over year. Year to date, net income grew 24%. And the main driver was the increase in brokerage revenues and also the improvement seen in the operating margin, as well as the growth in the net investment income. Talking about the net margin, it specifically improved by 170 bps year-over-year and 350 bps year-to-date. And this was mostly driven by the mismatch that we have in terms of revenues that have a G component that is booked on an accrual basis while the expenses are booked on a cash basis. So as the brokerage income arising from FH1 had a large share of deferral components without an expense directly associated to it, we could see such an improvement in the net margin in 2015 as compared to previous years. Here, finally, to wrap up the presentation, page 15, we have the guidance monitoring. So the first item, the growth in net income, we reached 30% year-over-year and above our forecast, and the main reason was that we were able to have a net investment income much better than we estimated, mostly because of a higher average Selic rate as well as a good performance of inflation-protected securities. The following one regarding the growth in stage 1 premiums, we recorded a retraction of 8% in the first half of 2015 as compared to the same period last year. Below the performance that we were estimating the guidance, and this deviation appeared mostly because of the lower than expected performance in crop insurance premiums return as well as in the life insurance premiums. So in the independent broker channel, so considering the results observed throughout the first half of 2015, and also our forecast for the second half this year, we decided to revise our estimates. So now we're going to have a range from 5 to 8% growth for 2015 as a whole. In pension plans, reserves of P and VGBL grew by 38.5% over the last 12 months. Above our estimates, and the deviation can be mostly explained by the easy comps that we had in this first half due to the unfavorable scenario for pension plans contributions in the early 2014. But our expectation is that throughout the second half of 2015, as the comparison bases become harder, the P and VGBL reserves will converge to our range of 27 to 36%, that's what we are expecting for the year. So this finishes our presentation. I would like to thank you all again, and now we are open to the Q&A session.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 9 on your touch tone phone now. To withdraw the question, please press star 9 again. Please hold on while we collect the questions. Our first question comes from Mr. Carlos Macedo from Goldman Sachs.
Questions. I have a couple of questions. First, on SH1, you revised your guidance downwards for growth of written premiums. It still seems like a fairly ambitious guidance given the starting point, more so than the actual ending point. I understand there's seasonality involved in it, but is getting there a factor just of, you know, the crop insurance improving, or do you expect any other lines to really turn a corner in the second half of the year that from an economic perspective looks like it's going to be worse than the first? Second question on Brazil Pref, 9.3%, a slight weakening there on the redemption ratio. Is there any cause for concern? Do you see that as seasonal? Do you see that as just a blip? You know, we know that unemployment's going up. Is there any reason for us to believe that ratio could go up given the environment? Thanks.
Hi, Carlos. This is Rafael. Thank you for the question. Regarding the guidance that we have for SH1, of course we see it's not an easy guidance, it's very challenging for the year, but we do expect that we can see when we look at the numbers of July that we are performing according to our expectations, and the most important driver for the second half will be rural insurance overall, not just the crop insurance, but as now, as I mentioned during the presentation, in this year, the Bank of Brazil decided not to anticipate the working capital line for farmers. So as the rural insurance, all the three lines that we have, the crop insurance, the rural lien, and the credit line for farmers, all three depend, they depend on the credit role. We do expect, as now, from now on, the bank is providing the working capital line for these fine farmers, we're going to see a very good performance in the rural insurance in the second half this year. Also worth noting that in the second half, we're going to have an easy comp basis, differently from 2014, as the working capital lines, they were anticipated for the first half and the second half. We had a weaker performance in terms of rural loans growth and also rural insurance in the second half. This year is going to be completely different. We will have a higher concentration of loans in the second half and also a higher concentration of premiums written in the second half this year. So the easy comp will help a lot in the second half of 2015. Regarding your question about the redemption ratio, we are not seeing up to now any major improvements of the unemployment, increasing the unemployment ratio. So we reached 9.3%, but when we look at our historical series, there is no concern about this, when we look for the big increase in year-over-year redemption ratio, but it used to be around high 9s and 10 when we look at a more long-term series. So there is no major concern regarding the unemployment rate. And it's also important to emphasize that we have one of the best redemption ratio in the industry.
Okay, thanks, Rafael.
Our next question comes from Gustavo with BTG Pactual.
I have a couple of questions as well. Starting with pension plans. I see on your presentation that your market share in terms of reserves is now larger than the two main competitors. So it seems to us that you had, that Banco do Brasil as a whole had a relatively lower exposure to pension plans, but now that gap has been closed. So is it fair to assume that you are becoming more dependent on the growth of the pension plans market rather than dependent on your own efforts of growing in terms of pension plans, meaning that we should see a deceleration going forward? I'm not talking about the second half, but for 2016 and 17. And then I have a second question afterwards.
Hey, Gustavo, Fernando speaking. We still have room to increase our market share in assets under management in pension plans. This growth will be due to the increase in the estilo portfolio that we have in Brazil. So these clients, they still, some of them, as we explained sometimes, they are still in a retail banking portfolio, and they are moving to only estilo clients portfolio, and this will increase the potential of this portfolio in Brazil Brev, and we will be able to remain increasing faster than the market in the next couple of years based on this strategy that we will have.
That's clear. Thanks. My second question is regarding the operating margins of the broker. Do you believe that as you accelerate growth in SH1 and slow down a bit in Brazil Prav, you should post not normalization, but the operating margin of the broker going to previous levels of 2014, or do you see that an EBITDA margin of above 80% is the sustainable level for the broker for the next couple of years?
Rafael speaking. Thank you for the question. Regarding the net margin of the broker, such an increase that we have been seeing over 2015 was mostly due to the lower volume of sale itself. So it's also worth noting that when we have the revenues at the broker level, and mostly the ones that come from our insurance, we can say our underwriting business unit, SH1 and SH2, they are deferred according to the risk term of the product, while the expenses that we reimburse Banco do Brasil, they are paid on a cash basis. So as in the first half, we had this slowdown in the rural insurance mainly, we had less sales in terms of quantity of products sold. When we look at the brokerage income itself and we break it down, we can see that the component of deferrals of unearned commissions being accrued to earnings increased a lot, mainly in the first quarter, and was very material in the second quarter, while the other component that is mostly related to the sales being performed in the period itself, decreased the share. So it's like that. We had an income without an expense associated to this revenue that we have been booking that increased the margin. From the second half on, and we can even see that it already happened in the second quarter when we look on that quarter on quarter basis, the net margin dropped from 58.1 to 57.8%. This is already this dynamic working, number of sales increasing, so the margin is going a little bit down. From the second half on, we do expect a good performance for the rural insurance, so probably the number of sales will keep increasing, and probably it's hard to really emphasize that we do expect a certain normalized net margin for the broker, but we expect that it probably will come down to the level seen in the end of the 2014.
Perfect. Thanks.
Our next question comes from Francisco with Banco Safra.
Hello everyone, thanks for the questions. I have two actually. First one is it's a more structural one, and sorry to try to go to 2016, but just trying to understand, I mean, when you look to 2016, the economy doesn't look like better than 2015. And when I look at your portfolio, like at SH1, even X agricultural insurance is growing below 5%. SH2 is being affected by the macro as well, maybe Brazil Cat. So what are the triggers for the visibility to start to grow again, double digits on the premium side? I mean, new products, new distribution channels. What you guys can tell us about that? Because it looks like right now the portfolio is a little bit tied to the macro, or Banco do Brasil loan portfolio, or even government subsidies in terms of agriculture insurance. So what we can think about going forward in terms of drivers for growth? And then I do my second question later. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your question. I will say that the main driver for us will remain the bank assurance channel. So improving in our sales in bank assurance side, this will guide the premiums in our company, but also it will strengthen our margins, because we will have the margins that flows via the insurance side and the distribution side of the distribution, the corretora, will be positively impacted by these sales. So the main driver for us and the way we are facing 2016 is increasing our performance in the bank assurance side. Of course, we have other initiatives to increase sales via other channels, but looking at the margins in the short term, we still rely on bank assurance to keep growing in the top line and in the bottom line of the distributors.
Just to follow up, but in terms of bank assurance itself, what can be done that is not being done right now? I mean, if I understood correctly, I mean, you guys can change a little bit the mix, more bank assurance than outside brokers. That will improve your margin, but your sales itself, I mean, what can be done in the bank assurance to that improve?
Okay, we are renewing life insurance portfolio as we are. I think we are going to talk about this in Portuguese earnings call. But when we have also, we are increasing also the focus on the estilo clients with this, the new portfolio, the new way Banco do Brasil, they are implementing this new portfolio inside. Their client base, it will help us to increase the penetration of our products inside this very important portfolio from Banco do Brasil, that's the Estilo clients. So these are the triggers of our growth for 2016, and of course we will have also initiatives in the other channels, but looking at the short term, 2016 only, the main driver will be this segment and mainly this upper side of the retail banking client base from Brazil that they call the shoe.
That's more clear. Thanks, sir. If allow me a second question. Government are increasing tax on financial institutions and insurance companies are included. And there was a news today that probably the contribution, the social contribution, might increase even more from 16 to 22.5%, and I believe that that affects the most of the subsidiaries. How do you guys are approaching there that issue? Can we imagine that you guys can transfer part of this burn to prices? How can we think of the impact on your numbers? Thank you.
Hi, Francisco Rafael speaking. Regarding this increasing PSLL, we have been already assessing the impact. We have some deferred tax assets mostly in our insurance business unit. When we look at Brazil Cap and Brazil Cap, we don't have these effects. But as soon as we have more details of this new taxation rule, we will assess the impact, and as soon as we have the information, we can disclose to the market. But up to now, we do not have any figure to disclose.
Right, so there are credit assets that should be revaluated and somehow offset the higher tax rate, right?
Partially, but it's also worth noting that very differently from banks that have a huge outstanding balance related to provision for loan losses. When we talk about our case and our underwriting operating companies, this is much, much smaller. They can affect partially in the very early stage, but then afterwards we will have this impact in earnings.
Perfect. Rafael, thank you. Thanks so much, guys, and congrats for the results.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to pose a question, please press star 9. This concludes today's question and answer session. I would like to invite Mr. Rafael Sarandio to proceed with his closing statements. Please, Mr. Sarandio, go ahead.
I would like to thank you all again for joining the second quarter conference call. Myself and my team, the investor relations division of the company, remains always available. And emails and our website and via phone calls. Thank you.
With this, we conclude DB Seguridad's conference call for today. As a reminder, the material used in this conference call is available on DB Seguridad's investor relations website. Thank you very much for your participation and have a nice day. You may now disconnect.